It's showtime.
Bob Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go. We are off and running for this 12th day of December 2019. 12-12-19. This is the Horn Headon.live is where you find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the chat room that happens during the hours when this program is live. And this is our fourth program in our new time slot. 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you're listening in on the live stream, and gosh, we sure do welcome you. I do. So does the rest of the Horn Family Community Congregation. If you want to jump into the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn Chat Room, just go to headon.live, click on Chat Room. If you've never been there before, pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and jump right in. You'll be immediately greeted by early arriver Squeaky, and others will follow here presently, one hopes. Squeaky noting, it's Thorns Day, because it is. It's Thorn in the Side Thursday here at the Horn. And, hi, I'm Bob. Every program at the Horn begins with gratitude, and today is no different. Thanks going out this evening to our subscribers for the 12th day of the month. And that would mean thanks to Gary in New York, and thanks to Mark. Thanks to Suman, and thanks to Paul. Thank you all, four of you, very kindly. And I should note something. We really do. This is fundraising free radio all week, but we really do need new subscribers because we've had three fall away just in the last 36 hours. And so that, you know, those hurt. Those hurt. So if you're inclined, well, jump in and become a subscriber either here or over at Patreon. If you become a Patreon subscriber, you won't even be billed until the beginning of 2020. Of course, that just means the beginning of next month. But still, if we need new subscribers, and we always need them badly. And see, there's pinch hit midweek utility chat room moderator and all around great guy Steve from Georgistan popping into the chat room. Thank you for coming by, Steve. Appreciate the help. So we've got. Let me begin the program. And what a day. Ugh, I mean. I hate to describe Congress as childish, but it's kind of hard to avoid under the circumstances. I'm not talking about the Democrats. I'm talking about the when one is deliberately obtuse, when one plays dumb and it turns out you're not really playing. Well, we'll get into that. We'll get into that. But before we jump into all of that, I had to, and remember, we are in fundraising free radio this week because of a kind gift by an anonymous contributor who made sure that I didn't have to cipher while jonesing for nicotine this week. And yes, it's another nicotine free broadcast. But I'm getting more used to them. I really am. But that having been said, I do have an email that touches on fundraising, but it's not something that, well, you get the idea. I got a note from our dear friend of long standing and a guy who has become a holiday tradition at the Horn. I'm talking about Paul from Parts Unknown. And what a letter, what a note, what an email. So we'll start the program with that. Paul from Parts Unknown says, I'm sorry I haven't been in touch lately, but 2019 has been a very tough year for me and my family. Early in the year, my uncle passed. He was born in Germany in 1942, son to an SS officer in the German army. His father died in the latter days of the war, and he always said he had no real memory of him. What he does remember was the aftermath, growing up with a single mom in horrible poverty during the Reconstruction of Germany. He told us stories of playing soccer as a child in fields that still had huge craters left by bombs, and you'd have to call a timeout every time the ball got kicked into one of them. He was a good man. Emigrated to the United States in his early 20s. Ended up joining the U.S. Army for a few years, got his master's in engineering, and became an American citizen. My uncle, Paul from Parts Unknown, says, knew exactly who Trump was and feared that his grandchildren might have to grow up in the aftermath of his administration. A fear I share. Similar to the challenges you're dealing with Ferg, for the past 18 months now, my 18-year-old niece has been learning to live with schizophrenia. We've had to deal with all the hallucinations, delusions, and having to get her medications just right. The bad drug combinations have given her a multitude of symptoms, from full-body hives, heart problems like tachycardia, and rheumatoid arthritis. It has seared my soul to watch this vibrant, smart, talented young woman try to hold on to her sanity while walking around with a cane. At the age of 18. Before her mental illness surfaced, she wanted to be an artist. She could draw beautiful illustrations and was going to art-based high school to get even better. Now she doesn't draw anymore. The pictures come to life and scare her. She's gotten better, though. The medications are working better, and her symptoms are much more manageable. She's going to college part-time, and she's excited about her future for the first time in over a year. We've also been helping out a single mom with three kids under five. She got into a car crash. Luckily, the kids weren't in the car, and we've been part of a babysitting group that watched her kids for 3 weeks while she recovered from her injuries. It seems everyone we know has suffered in some major way this year. My wife and I are exhausted from being stretched so thin. I know we're not alone in being ready to say goodbye to 2019. However, I've been working hard the past week on the Pullmans. So without further delay or pomp and circumstance, I'm happy to announce the... Wait for this. This is good. This deserves this. Yes, the cowbell. I'm happy to announce the Go Nuts and Impeach Him Challenge. I'm offering four tins. There's only four of Pullmans this year. And these tins can be yours for a $50 or more contribution to the Horn. If you're new to the program, Pullmans are a trademarked product of the Horn. It's not a Horn Nutraceuticals product. Those things are bogus. This is real. People wait all year for the Pullmans to come around. This is me editorializing. You cannot buy Pullmans in the stores. Pullmans are specially prepared almonds that have been hand-peeled by myself and my 9-year-old stepdaughter. Disclaimer, the Horn does not endorse child labor, and it's really not child labor anyway because she wasn't paid. Smiley face. The peeled almonds are roasted in sea salt and olive oil, lovingly packaged in a seasonal tin and shipped to your very doorstep. These delectable treats are tasty and won't expand your waistline like most holiday foods. Anybody who's ever ordered the Pullmans can tell you that this is, that, well, there's a reason people wait for this time of year. And it's a few, you know, it's downright Shakespearean. We happy few who get the Pullmans. Paul from Parts Unknown continues, you can also take solace in the fact that our president wouldn't eat them because they're not coated in sugar and burnt to a well-done crisp. No, they're roasted to perfection and wonderfully healthy. These almonds are gluten-free, vegan, and hard to share with others because they're just so darn good. Be warned that family members will sneak the tin away and gorge on them if you're not careful. We've seen it happen. So please let Bob know you want a tin as soon as you can. There are only 4 tins, and they've been claimed in previous years in as little as 20 minutes after the challenge has been announced. So act now. Bob is standing by. My love to all the Horn community, and Happy New Year. May 2020 be a year that ends with all of us breathing a great sigh of relief. So what I need you to do, please, if you want the Palmans, you gotta move quickly, and I'll let folks know as soon as I'll call a halt to it as soon as the orders are in. But you have to tell me. You have to tell me you want the Palmans, and you have to give me the mailing address that Paul from Parts Unknown will ship the Palmans to. Okay. So that's where everything stands with the Palmans. The Palmans, the Christmas Palmans, the Horn Christmas Palmans, PALMONDS, the Horn Christmas Palmans, are a thing on this 12th day of December, 2019. Act now. This offer will not last long. In fact, the first tin is already gone. Ralph's wants a tin of Palmans, and we'll see who the next lucky three are. It's kind of like a telephone contest, but there's no telephones involved. You know, on the radio, be the seventh caller, and we'll right. No, it's just first come, first served. So the first tin is gone. Three remain, okay? Jim tells me he's getting some buffering. I'm not seeing any buffering on this end. Let me check in with Brother Deacon Asa. Find out in a minute here. All right, so I will watch the notifications carefully. Jim, have you ever had the Palmans? There's something special. So two are gone. Two. There are two tins of Palmans remaining. Steve in New York. Christmas time means Palmans time. Here at the Horn it does. And you can't get a much healthier snack than that. So if you want them, run over to PayPal and put the PayPal. It's like Paul from Parts Unknown said, go to PayPal, do the contribution, and Paul will have them winging your way. Billable Rick wants to know how much are you asking for those? Well, I'm not asking. Paul from Parts Unknown put the way he phrased it was at least $50. Personally, I think he's selling himself short because I know that these really are, you know why you can't get these somewhere else? Because they're made by hand and they're really time consuming to make. Have you ever peeled an almond? Right. And it's the peeling that makes them so darn good. Because you don't have to fool with the skins on the almonds. So we'll just watch as the so two are gone. Ralphs and Jim. And two yet remain. Jim has never tried the Palmans. Well, they are crunchy and salty and wonderful. Yes, indeed. So that's a beginning place for the program. That's a happy thing to get Thorn in the Side Thursday off and running with. What else? Well, we know. I mean, I presume you know what went on all day long in the markup of the impeachment articles. You know, it doesn't make. Okay, thank you. Brother Deacon Asa says he's not experiencing any buffering. So, Jim, if you're listening on TuneIn, it might be better to go over to HeadOn.live. TuneIn can be kind of sketchy. Remember, the best place to get the broadcast is always simply to go to the source. And the source is HeadOn.live. Or White Rose Society. But HeadOn.live is just simply the go, click, done. And the program's rolling. Like I said, though, how do you describe this stuff? Such as what that's okay. Wait a minute. That's bizarre. Darlene with a message. Agnes at the other end of the house says no problem. No problem with the stream with her. Yeah, so it probably is. Jim, if you're listening to tune in, it's a tune in thing. Oh, Ralphs has never tried the Palmans either, so that's wonderful. That means that's two out of two. And that's wonderful when people who've never had them get to try them. Where'd that message from Darlene go? Not there. But anyway, I saw it come through briefly. Darlene says that... there it is. Just to let you know, I'm getting some weird advertisement with TuneIn when I go to the head-on site. It seems TuneIn overrides your site, and I'm forced to hear the advertisement before your program connects. I have to refresh to override that. This has happened twice now. Thought you'd want to know, seeing how much you love advertisements. Yeah, I don't love them even a little bit. Okay, that's 3 tins of Palmans now gone. Colin jumped in for a tin. And we're very close to beating the original record. But three gone in less than 20 minutes. Not surprising. Not at all. And I've never had we've never had a bad review on them. Jimmy, meanwhile, responding to Paul's broader note, to Paul and every member of the Horn family, looking forward to 2020. We'll all have a better vision of the future. I was thinking the exact same thing, Jimmy. 2020, we can see clearly what we have to do. And what we have to do is be shed of the nightmare in the White House, the constitutional abomination. Ralph says, TuneIn's working fine. Okay, great, thank you. So now, the The Palmans are gone. In the 20th minute of the program, we tied the previous record. That means, and the fourth and final 10 goes to Laborman in New Mexico. Just make sure, everybody make sure I've got your mailing address. So that's Ralphs, Jim, Colin, and Laborman. Just make sure. And I had a note from Steve. Steve in New York. He said, I know it's fundraising free week, but I'd like to offer a $10 challenge just to start to get ahead of the curve for next week. That's mighty kind of you, Steve. Thank you very much. Okay. Let's get into the program now. I watched the hissies being had today. And I'm hard pressed to think of someone I like less than, Doug Mouthful of Collards Collins. Wait a minute. Darlene, I fear you're late. Darlene said, what? Am I getting a tin of Palmans again this year? I connected into your program 15 minutes late. What am I missing? Holy shit. They're gone. They do not last when they, I'm sorry. But, no, that was Jim and Ralphs and Colin and Laborman. Jim says things are settling down. Okay, I'm on head on already. Better now, thanks. Never use TuneIn. Well, you got to remember, TuneIn's just picking it up and rebroadcasting, and it's also tied to the White Rose stream, so sometimes that can be a little sketchy too. Now, really, no kidding. To the program. And GK in Minnesota says loud and clear here in Minnesota on TuneIn. Good. It's nice when you, it is nice when it works. You know what grandfather says in Little Big Man. Some days the magic works, some days it doesn't. I got curious, and I just went and I read the bio of Doug Collins. And we all know what an odious douche he has been. We've all seen it. We've witnessed it for ourselves. But when I went and looked at his actual bio, it was shocking. Okay, not shocking. He's a maggot. He's a Republican. It was typical. But still, you look at this stuff and you say, what? And it has as much to do with the people who send him to office as he himself. This guy's a straight-up freak. Get this. This was one of my favorite parts. He, of course, is madly, deeply in love with the precious little fetuses. Oh, he loves the little fetuses. He absolutely thinks that tiny little clumps of cells are fully actualized human beings. Nope. And he wants to... And in his past, in the legislature in Georgia, he was all about making women get ultrasounds and listening to that there fetus heartbeat, right, which is not even a heartbeat. It's just the sound of blood flow. So we know that, and we expected that. On the other hand, he is, as someone noted the other night on the program, he's a minister of the gospel. That's right. He's done been to Southern Baptist Divinity School, where he learned to make pecan divinity. He is from Georgia, after all. Got a lot of pecans down there. No, he went to Southern Baptist Divinity School in New Orleans. Got to wonder. And it was, you know, back a few years. Got to wonder how many times he went witnessing into those dens of iniquity. So he became a preacher, but then he decided he really wanted to go for the diptych. Because a preacher who's also a lawyer, you want to talk about a license to print money, baby. Yeah. And so once he became a lawyer and a preacher, and he was a chaplain in the Navy for a while, and he was working all the grifts with both hands. And he's got an A rating from the National Ruble Association. That explains a little bit. And on the other hand, an F rating from Normal. Because he wants people to keep on suffering. So he opposes the legalization of cannabis. What a great guy. Yeah, really. That's just freaking awesome. But it gets worse. He, of course, supports the death penalty. And what's more, he doesn't even think that a death penalty verdict should be unanimous. He thinks you can have a majority jury verdict without unanimity, as long as there's something that aggravates. He wants to save the fetuses, but he wants to kill the actual humans. That's a beautiful thing, isn't it? I mean, actually, it's not. It's disgusting. But it is par for the course. Now, back in 2017, when Nitwit Nero gave away gabillions of dollars to the top 1% in this country, he was right there, because someday he hopes to be one of them. Maybe he already is. And, of course, he opposes any rights for the queers, because Jesus... he's defended another chaplain who berated gay people and straight people, too, for having premarital sex. Mm-hmm. He voted against the Violence Against Women Act. I mean, this guy's a real Lulu. Oh, and by the way, he's got real good God-fearing, upstanding morals, but somehow when it turned out that Donald Trump admitted with a recorder going that he commits sexual assault anytime he feels like it, well, no. No. He couldn't bring himself to mention that, because he wouldn't want to judge it. But then there's this. He wants to save the fetuses, but he also has voted repeatedly to tear down the Affordable Care Act and take health care away from tens of millions. Because remember, you can hardly turn on the for-profit media without hearing some millionaire saying, "God damn it, that Elizabeth Warren and that Bernie Sanders, they want to take health care away from 160 million people by giving them free health care." No, they never add the free healthcare part. It's just
Well, you know, Elizabeth Warren's fortunes began to fall when she came out with her plan to take health care away from 160 million people. Meanwhile, there are the Doug Collinses of the world who actually want to take health care away from tens of millions of Americans, perhaps hundreds of millions of Americans. I mean, if there's 160 million people out there that are somehow getting coverage under the Affordable Care Act, that's 160 million people that Doug Collins wants to take health care away from. But does he get raked over the coals for it by precious Mika and old country lawyer Joe Scarborough and neo-maxi Zoom dweeby Noah Rothman? Fuck no. That's reserved for somebody who actually wants to make sure that everybody in this country can go to the doctor when they're sick. It's pretty revolting. And here's the funny part. Okay, it's not funny either. He started out governmentally in the Georgia legislature. I bet Steve from Georgistan already knows some of this. And one of the things he did in the Georgia legislature was to propose modification to what are called the HOPE scholarships. Those are college scholarships for graduating high school seniors in Georgia who get a certain score on an SAT or the and have a particular a set level GPA. And Doug Collins decided there were too many Georgians going to school, going to college. So he proposed to raise the GPA requirement and raise the SAT score so that the state of Georgia could spend an extra $300 million somewhere else. But what's particularly interesting is that way back when he decided that being a gospel sharp wasn't enough, he could have been stopped. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, he's also signed a pledge from Americans for Prosperity. You know, I think if you sign any pledges, you probably forfeited your right to be an elected representative, because that means you're representing the people you took the pledge for and not the people who pay your salary. Americans for Prosperity got him to sign a pledge promising that he would never vote for a climate change bill if it, quote, raised taxes, unquote. So every time you see, and hopefully we won't hear much more from him for a while, every time you see Doug Mouthful of Collards Collins, know that what you're seeing there, and you probably already did know it, but I thought the details were worthwhile. You are looking at an abject, absolute, no doubt about it, hypocrite. I mean, we're talking about a hippopotamus-sized hypocrite. I mean, I'm not fat shaming him. I think he's so skinny he probably has to run around in the shower to get wet. But he's spiritually, philosophically, he's a big hypocrite. He was also supportive of the Muslim ban, you know, because he's a Christian. But way, way, way back in his legislative career, he could have been beaten. He could have been kept out of politics altogether. He ran in the general election the first time through unopposed. The Democrats couldn't even find somebody, any warm body whose name that they could put on the ballot for want of a shoe, for want of a nail, a shoe was lost, etc. What a horrible, horrible, horrible human being he is. Or perhaps I should modify that. What a horrible, horrible, pathetic excuse for an attempt at a human being he is. Oh, and hey, thanks to Kyle in Kentucky Stan for answering Steve in New York's challenge. That's much appreciated. Thank you very, very kindly. What's that? What's that, Randy? Look, quick, behind your right shoulder. It's an invisible spirit. Yeah, that merited a cowbell. Oh, wow. Darlene with a note. Look what I just got. You freaking kidding me? Like I should be excited about the fact that my health insurance is going up by over $250 a month. I love the exclamation point in the subject line. Your monthly payment is going up. According to our records, you are automatically renewed into a plan for 2020, and your payment is going up by $150 or more each month. Oh, I know. If we lived in a civilized country, why do I bother? But that's the Doug Collins who's been throwing hissies and being deliberately obtuse during these hearings, but I would be remiss if I suggested that he was the only problem. He's not, because people like Stump Licker Matt Gaetz and Jim Shorts Jordan are on the committee too. For some reason or another, Kevin McCarthy decided to put some of the most wild-eyed maggots, and probably for obvious reasons, having a pretty good inkling that the criminal that he supports in the White House was going to wind up impeached. He put the real Lulus on judiciary. And the maggots ran up against a buzzsaw today. Some of the Democrats did make me, well, most of them, all of them made me proud. Because they don't take shit from these clowns. But they tried to bully Representative Pramila Jayapal from Washington State, and she in particular was having none of it. Thank you very much.
I guess.
Oh, we were going. Try this again.
They want to see. This notion of abuse of
this
power
is Matt Stump Licker Gaetz.
Low energy impeachment theories. Heck, I don't know any political party that doesn't think when the other side's in the White House that they abuse power, they do too much. I got a lot of constituents that think Barack Obama abused his power, but you know what? We didn't do this to the country. We didn't put him through this nonsense and this impeachment. You all said.
Yeah, because, like, a bunch of shape shifting, amorphous, multi limbed aliens from Norblap 9 were the ones who ran all that silly horse shit about a nothing burger called Benghazi and spent 2 years hooting like a barn owl about her emails.
Set the standard. We didn't set it. You said this would have to be bipartisan, compelling, and overwhelming. It ain't that, and this looks pretty bad. I yield back.
Great job. Gentleman yields back. For what purposes, Ms. Jayapal, seek recognition?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just in response...
Strike the last word?
Yes, move to strike the last word. Thank you.
And ladies recognized.
In response to my colleague from Florida, you cannot argue things both ways. You cannot say that the president was so concerned about...
Uh-oh. Matt Gaetz is in trouble now. He's going to get schooled in logic. You can't argue both positions. This probably won't end well for him.
Ukraine, that he released aid, which is true. He released aid in 2017. He released aid in 2018, and then suddenly he became concerned in 2019, right after Vice President Biden announced that he was going to run. So if your argument is that he was so concerned about Ukraine that he released aid in 2017 and 2018, then why in 2019, after the Department of Defense cleared Ukraine on charges of corruption, why then did he decide he was so concerned about corruption that he was not going to release aid?
Because
that makes, I'm sorry, I'm...
Poor Matt Stumplicker Getz has a kind of a green about the gills look on him. I'm not sure if that's the hangover or if that's the schooling that he's taken.
Not
and then some other Mac.
I am then, not yielding. I am not yielding. Then did he decide he was so concerned about corruption that he was not going to release aid?
Because
that makes, I'm sorry, I'm not yielding. I am not yielding. I am not yielding.
They got a new president. That's why.
Jim Shorts Jordan.
Will be in order and people will not interrupt.
They got a new president who was
not proper here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Gentlelady will continue.
They got a new president who was known to be an anti-corruption fighter. So that argument has no weight whatsoever. Now, if you want to argue that the president was so concerned about corruption at that particular moment, you have to look at the whole record of U.S. policy and our agreement that the Department of Defense would look under certain conditions before they release military aid to determine whether or not a country had satisfied those requirements around corruption. And the Department of Defense released that report. Nowhere between the time that Donald Trump withheld aid and the time that he released that aid was there an additional assessment required or done. In fact, the Department of Defense decided they didn't need to do another assessment because they had already done the assessment. So at the end of the day, I have only two questions for my colleagues on the other side. And these are the two questions. Forget about President Trump. Forget about President Trump. Will any one of my colleagues on the other side say that it is an abuse of power to condition aid on official acts? Well, forget about President Trump.
We do it.
Forget about President Trump. Is any one of my colleagues willing to say that it is ever okay for a president of the United States of America to invite foreign interference in our elections? Not a single one of you has said that so far.
I'll say.
I yield to my colleague from Texas.
Gentlelady, yield so we can answer the question.
Angelo
asked me a question earlier today and said, if Louis Gohmert had dementia and came into a committee hearing, how would we know? I answered Angelo saying, if Louis Gohmert came into a committee hearing with 16 hits of acid tucked under his eyelids, how would we know?
I want to break this down.
Gentlelady has the time. And
she asked us a question.
The members here know perfectly well it is out of order to interrupt members who have the time. Gentlelady has yielded to whom?
She asked us a question.
Gentlelady yielded to whom? Ms. Escobar now has the time yielded
Thank
by Ms. Jayapal.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Representative Jayapal.
Blot, and everybody can see what I guess they want to see. This notion of abuse of power is the lowest of low energy impeachment theory.
Low energy. He must have learned that from Donald Trump. Jesus. Honest to God, what a clown car parade. It's not just one clown car. It's a parade. Or a caravan. Or a cavalcade. But of course, Representative Jayapal was right. Not a single member of the Republican side ongoing in their ongoing shenanigans and ever said that for a president to shake down a country in exchange for aid is an impeachable act. They can't say it because they know what he did. And it was largely a day about what they couldn't or wouldn't say. Both in the committee and outside the committee. Because, of course, Doug Mouthful of Collards Collins has to go out and do interviews in the hallway with Louis Asparagus Gohmert over his shoulder. I heard him when he came back and started spitting into the microphone. Well, I'd gone outside to do an interview. Really? Why don't you just stay in the fucking room and do your job, dweeb? Gospel sharp, hustler, huckster. And Kyle with a note says, I can't understand the mindset of someone who believes you should be able to have 5 bajillion guns with 88 bajillion rounds of ammo and argues that somehow isn't hurting anyone, but God forbid you smoke a damn joint or marry someone of the same gender, same sex, you're killing the family. Help me out. This is entirely rhetorical because nothing about republicanism makes any sense unless you view it through the frame of bigotry and igumfoo, but still. And you remember igumfoo. I got mine. Fuck you. All right. Now, Brother Deacon Asa says, I too read Doug Mouthful of Collards Collins' bio when you mentioned he was a preacher yesterday. I found it curious that right after he was elected to Congress, his wife, a lifelong elementary teacher, all of a sudden became a realtor. Figure Doggy Doug's family's going to capitalize on where the next interchange is going down the I-75 corridor? Only if Jesus tells them to, Brother Deacon. Only if Jesus tells them to. And I'm sure Jesus is fairly screaming at Mrs. Collins. As Jim notes of Collins, he has counter-charm, counter-intelligence, and counter-faith. Just which counter and at which dime store remains to be seen. And like I said, it was this all day long. If you've got the stomach for it and you enjoy some high farce or low comedy, there's always Matt Gaetz if you get tired of Doug Mouthful of Collins Collards. Mouthful of Collards Collins. Maybe I was right the first time. Come on.
Is it the position of the Republicans that the president did not ask for an investigation to the Bidens?
No, the position we're having right now is basically what we're saying is what was in the transcript, which is undoubtedly very hard for the Democrats to read, was that the issue of the Bidens was Hunter Biden's corruption. This goes back to the whole issue of what the president has felt all along, that corruption in the Ukraine was a problem, and that's where he's been.
He didn't say corruption in the call, and he asked for an investigation.
But again, it goes back to an issue here where he didn't say Bill Biden in the call, because what we just came out of was us. I didn't dispute you there. I said yes.
Okay. No, you said he didn't say, oh, Jesus Christ. Okay, let's see what's going on here with Steve from Georgistan. Yeah, Steve, what's up?
Bob, that was quick, brother.
Well, it was gonna ring through the.
Oh, I'm sorry, man.
That's okay.
I didn't mean to interrupt.
That's okay. It's just how it's how I've got things wired up here. I'll get better.
Live, learn, right?
Yeah. The cussedness of it is I can't seem to, no matter how many times I click it, I can't seem to make the Skype ringer stop ringing.
That sucks. Well, I'm sorry if I.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. No, we were just playing clips from idiots.
Yeah, just real quick. I won't keep you but a minute. But I heard something really disturbing, and I've been biting nails into, ever since I heard about it. When this comes before the Senate, Mitch can vote to have a simple majority have it dismissed without calling any witnesses.
Sure. You didn't know that?
No. I thought they had to go through the motions.
No, fuck no. I said it a couple of nights ago. The rules are what they decide. The rules are whatever 51 senators decide the rules are. Even with old Balls and Strikes Roberts sitting up there as the presiding judge over the thing, the Senate actually gets to tell the judge what the rules are.
And you know what that means? It means old fat ass will be out in the Rose Garden with his fat orange ass doing a victory dance saying, "See, witch hunt, witch hunt, witch hunt.
I told you it was a hoax. Maybe they'll make me Time Man of the Year next year. I told you it was a hoax."
Yeah, he got mad at that little girl, you know?
Yeah, because the goddess of irony just lives at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue now. 2 weeks ago, or a week ago, Melanoma was having a conniption.
Conniption over Barron.
Professor Carlin said he can name his kid Barron, but he can't make him a Barron. Now, that was a completely innocuous statement. That wasn't an attack on little Boron.
It was a matter of fact.
Yeah, it was a play on the word Barron.
Right.
You know, just like Donald Trump used to call himself John Barron when he would call to give fake PR updates. Maybe that's where Professor Carlin made a mistake. Maybe she should have said Donald Trump can call himself John Barron, but he can't make himself a Barron.
What? Rumor has it that Mitch has already sent out the warnings. Don't call any witnesses. We're just going to, let them do their thing, and then we're going to vote to dismiss this with 51 votes.
Yeah.
In the words of my friend Scott, we're all screwed, man.
We're all screwed, Bob.
Well, that's all I wanted, and I'm sorry I interrupted
you. Oh, no, you didn't interrupt, man. This is a conversation program. Please don't do that.
Well, okay.
I mean, if you're disturbed by this, the other people are, and look, he is, just let's get this through our little progressive souls. He is going to do nothing but a victory lap from the moment this thing is dismissed all the way to election day.
Well, I heard that he wanted to make a big reality TV.
Oh, he does, because he's a fucking moron.
And Mitch said, no, can't do that for the American people.
No, I don't think we're going to do that, sir. Yeah. No, he wants a reality.
I want him to call Adam Shifty Shiv, and I want him to call Nancy Pelosi and make her testify, and I want him to call Hunter Biden, and I want him to call Joe Biden, and I want him to call Lisa Page and Peter Strzok, and I want him to call Jim Comey, and I want to show what a witch hunt it was.
Well, bring it. I'd have to talk to Rick about that, or maybe you would know. Wouldn't that open the gates for us to get Barr on the stand? That dishonest.
It would certainly mean that the Democrats would have to be able to be allowed to call a witness or two.
That son of a bitch is evil. He needs to be impeached as well.
Barr? Yeah. And I'm, the funny thing is, I was watching, my filthy morning habit.
Yeah.
And I saw old country lawyer Joe sitting there excoriating Bill Barr. And I just said to myself, I said, you know what? I'll bet you if you go back, and if somebody in the Horn ad hoc research department would like to do this, I think it could be quite salutary for us all. I'll bet you you could go back in the Morning Joe archives, and on the day or the day after Tangerine Tiberius announced the nomination of Bill Barr, I'll bet you could find some of those people there, some of those millionaires that they put up every morning to tell us how to think. I'll bet you you could find maybe even Joe and Mika saying, well, you know, Bill Barr is an experienced attorney general. He's been there before. He's an institutionalist, you know, and he certainly will be a fine, fine independent attorney general. What do you want to bet that's there?
He's a wart on the asshole of humanity.
No, but work with me here. What do you? No, because I remember hearing it all over the place when Barr was nominated. Well, you know, Bill Barr is an institutionalist, and he's going to protect the Department of Justice against the excesses of Donald Trump.
He's Trump's consigliere, basically. That's all he is, you know.
Yeah, but Steve, do you remember? Because I do.
Yeah.
Well, I remember how they talked about he was an institutionalist and how Bill Barr would return stability to the Department of Justice, and he'd be right down the middle and he'd be a straight shooter, and it was you know, the usual suspect. It was your Chris Matthews's and your Joe Scarborough's. And God knows over on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, but you know, people like George Snuffleupagus. They were all,
no, he's definitely, yeah, he's experienced. He certainly will know what he's doing. He supports the Department of Justice.
And they've all been rendered stinking hypocrites, and B, just agonizingly ignorant and wrong. But none of them show up in front of a camera saying, well, you know, mea culpa, mea maxima culpa. I sure blew that call.
No, they just move on to saying, nah, he's terrible. But they don't add the, Jesus Christ, we got this one wrong part. You know what I mean?
No. And who ever thought that one would have more respect for Beauregard than you would Barr, you know?
Well, let's not get out there in front of over our skis too far.
Yeah, I know. I've seen the commercial. I've seen it. It's disgusting.
I know.
But thanks for taking my call. And I didn't, you know, I'll be mindful of that next time.
Oh, no. What, dude, it was not your fault. I had the pot up. It's my fault. Bad self-producer. Bad.
It's all right, brother. Always enjoy talking to you, Bob.
Oh, it's always a joy. You take care, Steve.
All right. And we'll talk soon, my man. Probably tomorrow.
All right. Later.
All right. Bye.
Bye. And we go from Steve from Georgia Stan to Scott in San Diego. Hey, Scott.
Did somebody conjure me?
I think you may have been. Do you feel conjured?
I've been watching too much goddamn impeachment stuff, Bob. Let the record show. I'd like to strike the record. I'd like three balls and a strike. I'd like an error. I'd like a bunt. And put that on whole wheat. If you don't have whole wheat, put it on rye. No.
Don't you love the stylized parliamentary procedure where instead of saying, Mother, may I, you say, I'd like to strike the last word?
Yeah. Well, see, for the longest time, I thought that meant that the person requesting that wanted to eliminate from the record what the previous person had said. But only recently have I figured out that it means, oh, I'd like to make my comments the last. It's Jesus Christ, Bob.
Steve Cohen from Tennessee is kind of a smart ass. I was kind of hoping one of them on there would say, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to strike Doug Collins in the mouth.
Well, Steve Shabbat of my former residence of Ohio just 10, 15 minutes ago, I think he spoke the truth inadvertently. He was going on and on about what a sham proceeding this was and this, that, and the other. And he transposed a word giving the meaning, or almost giving the meaning, that he said words along the lines of, I'm glad that we're impeaching. Oh, I'm glad that we're. Did you see that?
I don't think so.
Oh, Jesus. I didn't know whether you watch on a monitor with the verbiage, you know, the subtitles. But I'm sure that'll be on all the evening news programs tonight, where he spoke the truth in spite of himself. But let the record, where I was going with that, let the record
reflect
that I cannot adjust to this 2 o'clock start time. What the fuck's going on, Bob? My sleep is such a finely balanced deal to start.
Kind of wondered where you'd been.
That even this change of an hour to the day's proceedings just fucks me to a fare-thee-well. But be that as it may, and then I heard Steve from Georgetown, and I said, well, wait a minute, is it Friday or is it Thursday? I thought it was Thursday on the front porch. So, color me confused, Uncle Bob. Color me confused.
Well, it seems to have been your sleep schedule notwithstanding, seems to have been a good choice. It's kind of screwing with me, too, because it messes with my prep time. But I think it was sort of an inspired choice, moreover, because I'm getting emails saying, man, I love the new time slot, and it does it creates a space where, like, when I fill in for Mike, I don't have to truncate the program.
Well, that's true too. Now, I'm sure it is mostly me here, because even something as simple as the biannual time change from standard to daylight and daylight to standard, that throws a wrench into my sleep for a month.
Can you imagine flying back into the Eastern time zone for a month or two?
Oh, I don't think I could stand it, especially not this time of year. I wouldn't be able to deal with the weather. But I don't know. I've been trying to watch these proceedings, and you raised a point with Steve that I've got. It brings out a question for me. In regular proceedings in the Senate, a single senator can throw a wrench into things, at least for some period of time, by taking the floor and holding it. That is to say, a filibuster. Or are there mechanisms? Are there any such mechanisms? I'm getting a horrible echo here.
Not for me.
Are there any such mechanisms during an impeachment proceeding that can see? I can't believe that that the proceedings will be so one-sided. It's a national event, a national procedure having national bipartisan consequences, and everybody ought to be recognized. And in other words, in a trial in a court, and I know it's not a trial legal thing per se, but even in a trial, fairness is part of the procedure. Did you get with that? See, you got me coughing.
Okay, I mean, I'm still here.
Do you get where I'm going?
Well, I do, but let's take us, and I really think we need to, because the multimillionaires on the for-profit media are something less than helpful along these lines. I mean, I heard Brian Williams the other night declare that with the introduction of the bill of the articles of impeachment, that the president would be, they're getting ready to, they'll impeach the president tomorrow. No, that won't happen till there's a vote taken, B. But, well, And so we need to.
Well, he was. That's why they dropped him off Nightly News, Bob, because he was there when the founders picked up their quill pens and wrote the rules.
Oh, sure. Rules, let's look into this. Let's just sort of try to look at the Senate trial, assuming there's going to be one. Because remember, Nancy Pelosi swears they're not whipping the vote. They've told every member of the Democratic caucus, vote your conscience. Doesn't matter. You vote the way you think you need to vote. Now, I don't think Nancy's that simple. I think she probably has a pretty good idea of which way it's going to go. But they're not whipping the vote count. Among other people, Representative Ben Ray Lujan of New Mexico said as much. On the other hand, over on the maggot side of the equation, they're whipping the vote for all they're worth because they're afraid that somebody, especially somebody, let's say, who's a member of the House and is a Republican and might just happen to live in a district that like went for Hillary. I mean, I guess there's two or three of those people that they might defect. Because it's incredibly important to the Republicans that there be no defections, that this be an absolutely, and it's not going to be absolutely one-sided, because former Republican, now independent, Justin Amash, has said, hell yeah, I'm voting in favor of it. Because Justin Amash, and you know, I'm not a fan or anything, he's a weird little dude, but he at least says that he recognizes impeachable conduct when it happens right under his nose, and that's why he left the Republican Party and became so it will not be a one-sided impeachment. It will be characterized as such, but no, Justin Amash isn't going to be a Democrat anytime soon, so there's that. They're whipping that vote count for all they're worth. The Republicans are. So it's a safe bet that there's going to be that he will be impeached. There's a broader philosophical debate as to whether these are the two right counts to have been brought. Not that these two counts are wrong, Scott, but that there were more counts that could have been brought, like, say, the individual one count, where you've already got a finding by a court of competent jurisdiction that Michael Cohen was telling the truth when he pled guilty to what he did, which was a violation of federal law, which implicated the President of the United States himself. But the argument there is that, well, it didn't really happen while he was president. So you can't impeach on that. But let me just keep this thread going because it's hard to keep this going in my mind. So all there's right. going to be an impeachment. He will stand impeached. And the Chlamydia Claudius is so goddamn dumb that he doesn't understand that he does not want a trial with witnesses in the Senate. That it can only get worse for him. That he might go from maybe having 54, okay, now maybe 50 people vote to impeach him to maybe having 60. And that'd sting. He's only thinking about finally winning a court case or finally winning anything. Jesus Christ, he'd like to win a free Florida vacation by writing his name on the back of a matchbook and sending it in. But he doesn't understand. Once again, you know, he's the Dunning-Kruger president. He doesn't know what he doesn't know. So with that as prologue, understand, there's nobody who doesn't know what the outcome of this Senate trial is going to be. The Democrats know it. The Republicans know it. Now, for the Republicans, and in particular, Moscow Mitch, he has to hold a trial according to the Constitution. There's no gray area like he used to fuck over Merrick Garland. He has to hold a trial. But what that trial looks like is far from a foregone conclusion. So for him, it is to his benefit to get in and get out as quickly as possible before the stink of Donald Trump's perfidy can get all over the Senate. It's going to be bad enough as it is, and he's already nervous about his majority, with good goddamn reason. And so let's think of it in these terms. It's good for the Republicans to get done as quickly as possible, but it's also good for the Democrats to get done as quickly as possible in the Senate. Because there is no way they are going to get to 67 votes to remove him from office. And the longer the thing goes on, the worse it's going to get. And it'll get bad. It'll be worse for the Republicans, and it'll be worse for the Democrats. Because when you have a slightly dried pile of dog shit on the ground, and you put a sharp stick in it, and it's not smelling real bad, but you stick that stick in it, and you give it a good stir, it stinks a lot more. And the stink gets on everybody. Does that make sense?
Yes, I do get that. I just wonder if it's such a foregone conclusion that there's no way that the Senate is going to convict, why not bend over backwards? You know, why not if you're Mitch McConnell, why not just, you know, you can't just give an illusion of propriety and fairness and playing it out properly. I mean, if it's a foregone conclusion that it's a no-lose proposition for Trump in the Senate, vis-a-vis this impeachment thing, why not go ahead and do it properly? I mean, he needs
because votes. everybody gets their little patty cakes burned if they do it properly. Define properly.
Properly, in other words, to have an actual trial that's not just a show trial or a technically correct minimalist.
Okay, and I'm not being obtuse. I'm not being obtuse or confrontational here. What does that mean, Scott? What is a real trial in the Senate on a bill of impeachment?
Well, how was it done during it didn't happen during Watergate because Nixon had the good sense to get gone while the getting was good. Okay, I really didn't pay a lot of attention to Clinton's proceedings in the Senate. I do remember Chief Justice Rehnquist's fancy robe of chevrons going up and down the sleeve. I thought that was an elegant touch.
That's where he was hiding his dope.
I was curious about his fucking footwear. Did he have equally impressive footwear? You know.
No, he just had all his hydrocodone tucked down in those chevrons.
All right.
But chewing them up for the refreshing burst of flavor.
That's what I'm getting at. If you're going to do, I go, well, even in the House proceedings, you can go, if you do Watergate, McNeil, Lehrer, gavel to gavel, you can get all of the video of not only the Senate Watergate proceedings in 73, but the House Judiciary proceedings in 74. You can watch how it was done a mere 40 years ago. And I think there are things to be learned from performing correctly in life, as opposed to fiddle-fucking around and obfuscating and throwing roadblocks every which way you can. See, because where I was going with the question about Mitch McConnell is, if he's so cocksure that everything's going to be okay in the Senate, go ahead and have a here's my definition of a proper proceeding. Have a trial in the Senate that leaves no quarter for the opposition to say, you rammed it through, it was a bullshit operation from word go. In other words, that at the end of the day, win, lose, or draw, the other side says, well, we were given an opportunity to present it, and we didn't prevail.
Oh, but that's going to happen.
Well, no, not yeah. in the way you've described it.
No. Okay, well, then I've done a poor job.
Or maybe it was the way I heard it. Maybe that's what
they
it
will
was,
open this. They will open this thing up. He probably does not have 51 votes to immediately dismiss it. All right.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, see, that's what frightens
so
me.
So what we will have is, okay, like the pontificating from yesterday and today. It'll be that times a million. All 100 senators will have an opportunity to stand up and wave their arms and speak stentorianly into that horrible microphone that they still use in that body.
The one they put in their pocket, which is stupid.
Yeah, yeah, it's the one they put in their pocket so nobody can really hear them. It's like they got both hands over their microphone like I do right now.
Jesus.
And so there will be 100 Senate speeches, and they'll call it debate. And then maybe at the end of it all, somebody will say, Mr. President, I move that we dismiss these proceedings. And if you go back and you read the Clinton transcripts, that's not that far from what happened. Remember, they didn't call any living witnesses into the proceeding. They played videos.
Didn't they even have the blue dress?
No, fuck no.
Where am I remembering that from?
Well, because there was so much talk about it.
Yeah, or maybe it was a skit on Saturday Night Live. Who knows?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they didn't bring the blue dress in. I mean, what are you going to do? Have a pair of Senate clerks in a hazmat suit? But it was, well, you know, they played videos of witness testimony. But, you know, comb over Caligula wants it to be an episode of Murder, She Wrote. Or Matlock, more like.
You can say a lot of things about Mitch McConnell. But one thing that you can't really say about Mitch McConnell is he is no fool. He knows on which side.
What's the name of his book?
I don't remember.
The Long Game.
Well, there you go. But what I'm getting at is he's got whatever the Senate does in this trial. Okay, whatever the Senate does. He's got to sell this to the voters in 2020, November of 2020.
Well, sure. I mean, look, let's be clear. Mitch McConnell's concern is not the Constitution of the United States or the United States more broadly. Mitch McConnell's concern is Mitch McConnell's power over the United States Senate. That's why he's so proud of being called the Grim Reaper. If he made the political calculation that in order for him to maintain power in the United States Senate, it was necessary for him to go over to the White House and kick Donald Trump in the nuts, he would put on steel-toed boots and start walking. Okay?
Yeah.
He is about him. And he is certainly, he's an ideologue, but he is an ideologue as long as it operates to his benefit. If it should get to the point where, say, 70% of the people of the Commonwealth of Kentucky wanted Nitwit Nero impeached, he'd go kick him in the nuts. He'd let him have a trial. And the next thing you know, Gordon Sondland would be sitting there. But it is not going to happen. So the question becomes, Scott, isn't it better just to get this goddamn thing over with? Because it's providing a hell of it's smoke, but not a lot of heat. And certainly not a lot of light. It's been damned fine reality television.
But we all raises this question. I mean, at least on Survivor, you're not sure who's going to be the last one standing. We know how this goes.
Well, that leads me to this. Do we? Aren't there a few senators on the Republican side who are not running?
Define few.
Well, it's probably not enough to reach 67.
Precisely.
Okay.
Because remember, however many there are on the Democratic side, you have to subtract two, and that means you have to add two to balance the equation on the Republican side, because over on the Democrat side, you've got Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema.
Well, aren't these departing Republican senators, don't they realize that this will be an opportunity for them to do the right thing?
No.
At long, well, then we're all screwed.
Steve correctly
quoted me. We're all screwed.
Did Bob. did you happen to notice what happened with Jesus? I can't. Jeff Flake. Boy, I tell you what, he decided he was going to quit, and he sure went out in a blaze of glory, didn't he? Not.
Well, right. I know.
Then there's that little tiny dude from Chattanooga, Senator.
He was in the cabinet sometime years ago.
No, he wasn't. No, it was the other senator from Tennessee that wasn't Lamar Alexander. The one who's been replaced by Marsha Gedneth Blackburn. He was head of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, and he was all seriously opposed to Trump from time to time, except when he was voting with Trump 99% of the time, and he decided he wouldn't run anymore, and he went out in a blaze of glory. Not.
Well, this may be what you just said. The fact that I could not remember the name of the senator from Tennessee and thought it was Lamar Alexander, but it wasn't. You could point a finger at me and say the word "go," and I can recite to you a half dozen to a dozen senators from the 1960s on the Republican side who were upstanding, decent, respectable, competent people. Okay? You could point that same finger at me today, and I wouldn't be able to name, you can barely name 10 Democratic senators who fit that upper echelon of admiration type of criteria. They have, something has switched along the way, and it's just a means to an end. It's just, you know, a revolving door. Even now, even with the reforms on both sides, it's a matter of getting that old Rolodex filled up with a lot of juicy names and contacts and things. And you do your 6 or 12 or 18 or whatever number of years, and then you move on to industry, your private practice, or God, look at fucking Bob Dole. As old as that fucker is, he's still with some law firm.
Bob Dole says, "Welcome to Walmart."
Well, no, he's not in no Walmart in a blue vest. He's at some big mucky muck law firm in D.C.
Being rolled around in his Captain Christopher Pike chair.
Beep, yeah, beep, but beep, he still beep. Has that gravitas, you know, that pull that power will bring you. And that's the thing that pisses me the fuck off, Bob. I mean, it never gets any better. We never learn anything from history or even from our own lives.
As you may well expect, you're getting responses via email. Jim says, given Moscow Mitch's parliamentary power, all these proceedings are for naught and participants are just jacking off, right, Bob? Well, no, I will not say that about the Democrats in the House. As Barbara Jordan pointed out back during the Nixon impeachment, the House had a specific job to do, and the House was oath-bound to do its job. So, no. But when it comes to the Senate, Jim, yeah, it's just gonna be a hand job. It's gonna be dry humping. Steve in New York says, "Oh dear Scott, your desire and hope for fairness are admirable, but come on, man, in this exponentially increasing weird day and age." And then Lee in New York, "Sorry, Scott should know that a good trial cannot occur. If the Republicans went for truth, they would be throwing all House Republicans under the bus. No Senate Republican will drive that bus.
Now, that is a good point. But you must remember...
Yeah, and it was Bob Corker. Bob Corker.
Bob Corker, okay. Yeah. Who could forget? Well, obviously, both of us, you know.
And David in South Carolina, Stan, says they do not care. The GOP does not care. It is all about power and keeping their dark secrets hidden away in Vlad's safe.
Well, all of that goes back to my recent question. Everybody, not just Mitch McConnell, but everybody on both sides, unless they're not running in 2020, has to sell their particular public on the caliber of performance. How well is it going to play is what it amounts to in 2020. Are we going to retake the Senate? Are we going to hang on to the House and do even better in terms of our majority? And most of all, are we going to recapture the fucking White House and at long last be rid of this incompetent, demented circus peanut? That's the big question. Is any of this moving us in that direction? And some days I wonder, you know, well, maybe it is. And then again, I think, well, maybe it isn't. And judging by the feedback that I'm getting from the Horn family today, we're more screwed than we've ever been. So I don't.
I'm not satisfied. It's probably not the right word. But I'm not comfortable with the place where you are.
Well,
because no, hold on. Because I feel a certain, you know, I don't just hot up this mic here and do this for entertainment value. I mean, I try to be correct. I mean, I make errors, sure. But if I've got you walking away with the attitude that you just manifested, I have done a disservice. The only thing I'm trying to point out here is that it is a foregone conclusion what's going to happen in the Senate. Gerald Nadler harbors no misgivings. Adam Schiff doesn't either. Okay? And neither does any Republican or any Democrat in the House with two brain cells to rub together.
Yeah.
Everybody knows how this ends. But the question is, is it all just jacking off? Is it all just dry humping? And what do you if you want a full on trial, Scott, and understand a full on trial in the Senate on a bill of impeachment is not like a full on trial in a circuit court of some dude who was caught burglarizing somebody else's house. I mean, it's all going to be very stylized. The Senate makes the rules, like we talked about.
Yeah.
But if you want this full-on trial, to what end do you seek it? Do you understand?
Well, to what end, in my case, if you were asking me, I would say to the end that he has been impeached. Now he needs to be convicted and forced to remove.
But if you understand that you're never going to even get 60, let alone 67 votes, that you're not going to get 55. To what end then?
Well, then you put the ball in the court of the GOP candidates in the Senate who will be running and asking for permission to be in charge beginning in 2021. You know, they've got to sell this to the American public, not to just their constituency in their states, but they've got to sell this to the national audience.
Cory Gardner has to sell it to people in Colorado. Susan Collins has to sell it to people in Maine. Whoever that woman is that got nominated by the governor of Georgia, Kemp,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I know
she has to sell it to the people of Georgia. Nobody has to sell it to the people of the United States. except within the context of the presidential election.
Well, no. Yes, but there is such a thing as the national mood, and the national mood can translate to jurisdictions. Do you get what I mean by that?
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess if there's enough TV coverage.
Because, see, the only thing that I really have to go by is how things were in the wake of Watergate, in the wake of Nixon's resigning in August of 74. And several months later, there were the midterms in November of 74. And the highest number of GOP seats in the House were lost in the 74 midterms than had been, either had ever been or had been in some great long chunk of span of time. Okay, so there's that. And then you fast forward to 2018 and the midterms that we had in 2018, and either an equal number or the biggest number since of Republican seats being lost and Democrats picking them up in the House also occurred in 2018. What I'm getting at is there is a national mood, and it does, you're right, it does play out on the local scene in the elections in localities. And what I'm saying is, the ultimate end here is if we cannot convict and remove the bastard, then we have got to hold the people accountable who kept that from happening in the House and the Senate on the local level. And we've also got to hold accountable. In other words, the national mood will reflect that a change is in order. And by virtue of that, people will make choices that will cause the change. That's where I was going with that.
Well, I do.
Well, I mean, when I talk about having to sell it to the national audience, that was what I was getting at, that it's not just, it won't just come down to the localities. I mean, it ultimately will, but it will play out locally so as to have a national effect, if that makes any sense.
Well, you brought up the loss of seats in 1974. Well, some are out there who are saying that the Republicans in the House may take a hiding this time through. But the fact of the matter is, the ones who need to be gone the most are going to stay right there. Louie Gohmert's safe. Matt Gaetz is safe. Doug Collins comes from the Trumpiest single congressional district in east of the Mississippi, I think.
Well,
he's like R plus 27.
I had a question about Doug Collins that was prompted by watching him last night, I guess it was. Did Mr. Schiff ever date Mr. Collins? And if so, was Mr. Collins jilted by Mr. Schiff? He was calling him everything but a child of God, and it came across to me like a spurned lover, like he jilted him or broke the engagement or gave him the clap or something.
Oh no, they're
did
totally.
Did you see that last night or yesterday?
No, I caught that on the fly.
It's like an angry spouse in the wake of a nasty divorce saying some of the things he was saying. Venomous, Bob, venomous. You know?
And, Jim says, sorry, this ain't 74.
Oh, I know. God, you don't have to tell me it's not 74. Jesus. I mean, all you've got to do is watch those videos, and they're online. From the 74 Senate proceedings and House proceedings.
Sure.
There's a certain majesty that is missing today. And even back then, it was
Well, look, today was just, I understand the nature of the process. So while the reality show spectacle aspect of it may draw viewers in, to me, it was a reality show because it was both sides. And I obviously identify with the Democrat side, but it was both sides for the most part talking past each other. Nobody was going to convince the other side. It was all just stylized horse shit, frankly. There were valid arguments and points made by the Democrats. The Republicans, and it's not because I'm so hyper-partisan. I actually paid attention and followed the arguments, and I know when I'm being lied to. 56 years on planet Earth ought to be good for at least that.
Yeah.
And this was just a bullshit peddle job by a whole bunch of painfully white, painfully Southern three-card Monty dealers, okay?
Triggered your bullshit detector, did they, Bob?
Oh, it blew the mercury out of the top of the tube.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, Lee in New York says the Republicans are hitched to Trump. They'll advertise to any Republican voters they can find that they supported Trump more than the Pope supported Jesus. The Democrats have to advertise that they're for the Constitution, the law, and the people, if people will vote for Democrats. Do you see how much more complicated the latter is than the former?
Read that again, because there was something profound in that, and
The Republicans will advertise to any Republican voters they can find that they supported Trump more than the Pope supported Jesus. The Democrats have to advertise that they're for the Constitution, the law, and the people, if people will vote for Democrats, because the Democrats can't be for the Constitution, the law, and the people if the Democrats are not given power with which to do that.
Okay, good. I like that. I like all of that, even the lip lock. Even looking at the finely detailed background behind this Rep Kelly Armstrong, Republican of North Dakota, I think, the intricately starved, carved stars and woodwork, even the surroundings calls for something better than what these guys are bringing us. And by these guys, I mean the Republicans. How dumb do they think we are? And I know there are people that eat it all up. You know, they live for moments like this. Because we love our country, we love our president, we've got our red.
Oh, yeah, I know, I know, I know.
You know, but I don't know. And really, you're not responsible for how all of this shows up for me or anybody else, really. I mean, I have a couple of years on you in the sense that I've seen more stuff along the way. And you tend to build up a callus when it comes to, the capacity for hope in a good result. And it's not as bad as it sometimes sounds. But when I think about all of the time and expense and human effort and energy and desire that will have gone into this House and Senate procedure, regarding impeachment, and if there's really nothing to show for it much, then what was the point? And what is the remedy? In other words, if not that being the way through this deal, what do we have to do? Fire the whole lot of them in November of 2020? That may well be where it's going to be. And then you've got to get voter apathy out of the way and voter ignorance out of the way.
Well, frankly, you're already at November 2020. I'm worried about 11 months of victory lap 11 months of spiking the ball and the 11 months of a jiggling adipose orange end zone dance.
Oh, I know. It ain't going to be pretty. You think up, if you think up till now has been bad with this fool, if this goes the way that it's probably that it likely is going to go in the Senate, we will not have heard the end of this, even while they're putting him in the box and throwing him in the ground some years hence. He'll probably have it rigged that his speeches are playing on a loudspeaker system during the proceedings. You can almost see why people don't pay closer attention to civic matters and to politics and do the math and figure out how it affects their very lives on a day-to-day basis in a real and measurable way. You can almost understand why and how that happens. But we can't go on like that, I guess is what I'm saying in terms of 2020. There are more of us than there are of them. Now, it may be that we're not, there aren't more of us in certain places where it may count quite a lot, but there are certainly more of us in places where it will count to our benefit and favor. And we are increasingly in places where it once upon a time might have gone to their side, but could very well go to our side with a little fucking effort and running a decent candidate in some of these fringe areas of major metropolitan areas. You know, we can't, in other words, we can't go on like this. I would, if the optimist in me counts for anything, and I know that it does to some extent, then it must count along the lines of all of this will must pay off in some positive way. There's got to be a silver
lining. Hey, stand by, stand by.
Okay.
Let me see what I can do about this. Oh, I really hate this. Hey, Scott, I'm gonna ring off here so that other people can get in.
Okay.
But I just want to be clear. There is no good outcome in the Senate trial.
Oh no, and I don't anticipate it. But down the road or beyond the Senate trial, there's got to be some good outcome. It's high time that we take control of our own future back.
I'm just suggesting you may lose some weight in the coming months because it's going to nauseate you every time you see him standing there saying,
they proved it was a hoax in the Senate. I had a trial. I won. I was exonerated. It was a perfect call.
Yeah, I know. I know. I picked the wrong time to quit smoking. By the way, are you doing okay on that? Is that working?
Yeah, I'm knocking several hours a day of smoking out of my life.
Good for you. All right, Bob, let me let you go.
All right, we'll see you, Scott.
Thanks for the information and the fun. By God, if nothing else, this is informative and fun.
Yeah, laughing our way to Armageddon.
Yeah.
One broadcast at a time.
See ya.
See you, Scott. My buddy Scott in San Diego, and I'm sorry the way that Skype behaves here. I got to figure out a better way to do this, but it is what it is. If you were trying to get in, try to get in again, and we'll see what we can do. And hopefully, you know, all right. Okay, here we go. And there's Todd. Hey, Todd.
Hello.
Yep.
Hey, I wasn't sure I tuned in late, but
yeah, it's tough getting used to the new time slot, isn't it?
Well, yeah, that, and I'm not around. Yeah, it's supposed to be a couple of things, and they'll just kind of coincide. But So that was, you know, interesting, the conversation you had with Scott, but I mean, we have to come to the realization, I mean, it's just my mind, that we know that it's not, that nothing's going to happen in the Senate. We know Mitch McConnell is in charge there. He's just shrewd and nefarious and, you know.
The point that I was trying to get across to Scott is, how does it benefit Democrats if we've got a six-month trial?
Well, I think there's some benefit to that. And I think they maybe, if I were Nancy Pelosi, I would have brought every single charge of impeachment that I could have, every article, because I mean, so many violations, it just happens every day. Because that affords an opportunity to provide more evidence to the American public, because they're getting so much information and disinformation from so many different sources.
Do you realize? But do you realize what he's going to do once he thinks he's been exonerated?
Yeah, exactly what you said. That's exactly what he's already doing.
Yeah, but it's beyond that. He's going to do more impeachable stuff. He's going to think he is a law unto himself and he can't be touched.
Well, that's going to blow up in his face.
And there is no law that says you can only impeach a president once every 4 years.
No, that I am totally in line with Al Green. And see, we can impeach. Look, you know something? I hate to use a hackney phrase, but we're in uncharted territory, uncharted waters. Now, we can't help it that this individual, the president, continues to break the law. And the House of Representatives would be remiss if they didn't do their duty. I mean, that's kind of what we talked about last time I called and we talked. You know, we're in this morass. It's like, you know, you dug into this mud. We didn't start this nonsense.
Well, I go back to some of the arguments I've made previously. What happens when these court cases become final? What happens when it becomes final? That he committed contempt of Congress. You can come back and impeach him when these cases have gone all the way through the Supreme Court and there's nowhere else for him to go and he fucking lost. Or then again, what happens when these cases become final and Mazars and Deutsche Bank and all the other financial institutions have to turn over the records? And it turns out that he's a goddamn crook. What happens when the emoluments cases go final and it turns out that the emoluments cases were properly brought and that he has constantly violated the emoluments clause? See, that's one of those things that drove me crazy today, because one of the mantras that the Republicans were hooting, was that we don't have no allegation and no crime here. At least Andrew Johnson and Bill Clinton they committed a crime. Well, no, Bill Clinton didn't, because he was A, never charged with it, and B, never convicted of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Johnson's crime was to violate a law that was specifically passed for Johnson to violate so they could impeach him, and then, you know, Nixon, who was just a crime wave it's a one-man crime wave. What are they going to do when the emoluments cases come back all the way from the Supreme Court, and it turns out he has serially violated the emoluments clause, if that happens? Well, there's no U.S. code, I don't think. There's no U.S. code section that says if you violate the emoluments clause, you got to do one to three in the Fed. But it is very clearly a violation of a constitutional duty imposed upon the President of the United States that becomes goddamned impeachable. And like I said the other night, when these things do become final, then I want the Democrats in the House to call Jonathan Turdley back and say, okay, you told us we were moving too fast. But here, the orders are final. It's clear. He violated the law. Can we, seeing as how you were the Republicans' witness, Johnny, can we impeach him now according to you, pretty please, Mother, may I?
I don't know what has become of him. I just don't.
What do you mean what's become of him? He was. This is the same guy he was in 1998 when he said it was okay to, that we had to, it wasn't just okay, we had to impeach a president for a blowjob.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He is a hypocrite. Now we have infractions that are damaging to the country, not to character, not to the character of the office, but to the actual country. You know, and it's a pattern. I think it's a legal term, ongoing pattern of blah blah blah. Isn't that what they say in court?
Pattern and practice.
Pattern and practice. I mean, this is how he operates. He's daring anyone to say anything.
Yeah.
You know, and he's got the criminal attorney general that has his back, so he thinks he can do anything. But as you were saying about the courts, well, this is going to be interesting because it appears that the courts are, they're making their schedule such that they're trying to rush these things through, which is good. So we'll know sooner than we thought we would as these things filter up to the Supreme Court. But
I think you're right. I think you're right.
Well, that's the way it looks. I mean, that's just the way it appears, you know, from what I've gleaned. This once again, the Electoral College has failed us, and we shouldn't even be in this position, having to fashion new law and make new precedent because we have someone who's incompetent and ignorant and just evil and corrupted. Compromised. I mean, everything negative you can think of. You know, now he's in a fight with a 16-year-old girl.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that because, it was like I said, it was just a couple of weeks ago that the woman who became the first lady ever to remove her clothes in exchange for money for perfect strangers, and their sexual gratification, she said that her little teenage boy, who was maybe 2-3 years younger than Greta Thunberg, that he was being bullied by that mean lawyer lady, and yet her husband. This is her husband's second attack on Greta Thunberg. Second, and the idea that he's got, it was a few weeks ago we were talking about Halloween candies and stuff like that, And we were talking, Scott and I think we're talking about those little Brock's pumpkins, and they've got that little green top. Well, he's turning into one of those because he's orange, and now he's green with envy. Jesus Christ! Imagine being jealous of a 16-year-old girl because she's the Times Person of the Year. And hey, congratulations to whoever did that at Time, because you gotta know that was intentional.
Oh, yes, I totally agree. They knew his behavior would be so predictable. You see what his campaign did, right? They put his face on her body.
Yeah, it's sickening.
They're so vile. I mean, they do everything that we teach our children not to do. So,
but it would be she'll stay in hiding, he keeps her in a pit or something.
It puts the lotion on its skin.
But it would be nice if a reporter could get close enough to melanoma to say, hey, why don't you tell your husband to be best and quit beating up on little 16-year-old girls, metaphorically speaking.
Sure. This whole fiasco, people are worn out. I know I'm worn out. It's interesting, it's fascinating, but it's taking a physical toll on other people. I'm not the only one. I'm speaking with other people around work and here and there. This shit, and it was a couple of things that I heard today from alarm makers. Earlier in the day, I was having lunch. I don't know if you caught this, but Gomer,
the French news. I didn't know it was French.
Well, he didn't. He's too stupid to know it. So
he's too stupid to be French.
He said the Congress was actually obstructing themselves. He said the Congress was guilty of obstruction of justice. That was less than two hours ago. Now Kennedy, that was love was lunchtime when I heard Kennedy say this. Kennedy accused our side of engaging in projection.
Yeah.
Let that sink in. You know, so to Scott, I would say we have no choice. Now, we know what we're pretty much sure what's going to happen in the Senate. But that's not the point. You know, sometimes you have to kick a bully in the balls. Even if you get beat up again, you have to make a stand.
Oh, by the way, Kyle in Kentucky Stan says, yeah, Nitwit Nero's also scared of Greta. Because she's a strong young woman. He's scared of a 16-year-old. Oh, my God. Also, there's the image. You may have seen this. Trump as Thanos from the Trump campaign. They're writing their own metaphors now.
Did you
see that? I saw that. They've got him.
It's out there somewhere.
Yeah, they've got him. They did a meme of him as Thanos, completely oblivious to the fact that literally the next second after that image, Thanos gets destroyed.
Oh boy!
I'm glad Kyle mentioned that.
Kyle's on point.
Wait a minute. Oh, hold on. That goes out to Randy in PA. The galloping Gomer.
Boom!
See, that was quality.
My God. Here he comes. With a basket full of asparagus. Can you imagine he was a judge over people's lives?
He was the Texas Criminal Court of Appeals. He was on that court. So, you know, he wrote opinions sending young black men to death row.
He can write? I thought he got social promotion. They figured you're 45 and you're in the fifth grade. We're gonna pass you.
Oh, hey, here's an idea, and I'm glad Darlene reminded me of this. She said again, I suggested it months ago, and it was recently suggested by Dr. Bill via a Lawrence Tribe article that I never saw. So I thought of this on my own with the few 54-year-old brain cells I have remaining. Dig this. This is freaking awesome. Democrats vote yay on the articles of impeachment in the House and then withhold them. Just keep them in escrow. Keep them tucked in your hip pocket. The House does not need to send them to the Senate. That was confirmed by Dr. Bill. Trump runs as an impeached president, which gives a shit ton of ammunition for the eventual Democratic nominee for president. If Trump steals a second term, then dust off the two articles of impeachment and send them on over to the Senate. And this assumes, of course, that the Dems solidly hold onto the House and take the Senate. The escrowed articles of impeachment are our insurance policy against a Trump second term. To paraphrase a line in Star Wars, it's our only hope.
I've heard whispers of that. It sounds good. And this is what I would like to know about that in terms of the intricacies. Does that afford us the opportunity to continue these investigations because he continues to engage in illegal behavior?
What do you think?
I think it should. But I'm just worried about the Justice Department. We can't trust them. But congressional oversight, that's kind of, they can kind of do their own thing, I think. I mean, he can't stop from the House Intelligence Committee from doing their job.
No, and they can they can keep on investigating, and that's the one thing that scares these goddamn maggots half out of their minds, because they realize that the better lawyers are over on the Democrat side, and pretty soon they're going to figure out a way they're going to crack the code.
Oh, right, and that gives them more time.
Yeah.
Without everybody looking at it.
Okay. I think it would be beautiful. And it, you know, it kind of goes to the – if it happened, it would be beautiful because it would take a hell of a lot of steam away from, you know, the Republicans to say, well, they just didn't – you know, they were afraid to have a trial. They wouldn't let the Senate do justice when the fact of the matter is the Senate wasn't going to do justice.
Okay.
And can you imagine? Can you imagine one of the people who might be loving that strategy the most?
Besides Darlene.
Yeah, besides Darlene, besides me, besides Dr. Bill, besides Lawrence Tribe.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Pencilneck Geek.
Oh, he's on deck.
He's on deck.
Mm. Ooh. Ooh, that's devilishly smart.
Mm. Thought so. Thought so.
Mmm, that's the hot sauce. I like that. They're more, mmm, that's looking better.
Remember, he's sitting out there, you know, he's going out there and doing his shuck and jive for Donnie thing, but he's out there, he's in his room next to Mother every night, and they're on their knees in the bedroom. Don't think like that. They're not having sex or anything. They're on their knees in right there by the bed saying, please, sweet fake baby Jeebus, let your will be done, and let your will be that Mike Pencilneck Geek gets to be president of the new 90 states of America.
Wow. Yeah, I'm liking that. See?
Yeah, and there's only one problem with the hold it in escrow thing. And that's that, as Steve in New York points out, if he won re-election and the new Congress comes in, they'd have to vote on articles of impeachment all over again because every single piece of legislation dies at the end of the Congress.
Well, they'll be drawn up and they'll just be added to. Because I don't think we're not going to lose the House. I don't think we're going to lose the House.
Meanwhile, I got a note coming in from Cynthia, and she's not being facetious. She says, gosh, talking about the nitwit taking a personal toll on people, if that filth should end up being selected for another 4 years, I don't think I could survive another 4 years of it. Maybe that's his strategy. Kill us all by infuriating us to death. He has to go. No second term. It's our only hope.
And, you know, I don't know what is going on with those Republican lawmakers, though. They're just out there just lying, not making any sense.
They're just being what Republicans are.
You know, there's not a respectable one in the crew. I just don't, how can they even go home and face their families with that, with their mouths and their mindset?
I know.
What does it take?
Oh, and by the way, today when he had the tweetiest day of his life, I think today he was going up the wall, twooping all over the place, and in particular he singled out, "Hey, look at that, two women of color, Sheila Jackson Lee from Texas and Veronica Escobar from Texas."
Dems Veronica Escobar and Jackson Lee purposely misquoted my call. I said I want you to do us, our country, a favor, not me a favor. They know that, but decided to lie in order to make a fraudulent point. Very sad.
Well, he shouldn't be talking about anyone lying, number one. And, yeah, Sheila Jackson Lee, she invoked Barbara Jordan.
The funny thing is, the Republicans had Barbara Jordan's name in their mouths, and Sheila Jackson Lee straightened them up on the double quick.
Yeah, that was something. That was something. And Hank Jones, is that his name?
Johnson.
Okay, so he asked a very pertinent question. That was at lunch, and he said, who here can say that it is okay, I'm paraphrasing, for our president to accept help in an election from a foreign power? And then he just stopped. He had like 4.5 minutes left in his time, and he just stopped. and got quiet. And then he waited 10 seconds, and no one said a word. He said, the silence is deafening. So I'm back to saying that, you know, maybe we all need to rewatch KGB Connections on YouTube. Something fishy is going on.
Might not be the worst idea in the world.
It's ugly, man. Something's wrong here. I mean, it's more than about just maintaining white supremacy. I think I don't know what happened. They have compromised all these people. Something's not right. But hey, on a nice note, Trader Joe's this year, their winter brew, which is a double bock, is fucking out. I mean, like every year for my birthday, I get Celebrator. I either get that or a Brooklyn Black chocolate stout. But this winter double bock is better than it has been for the past 3 or 4 years. Because, you know, beer is funny, especially seasonal. I mean.
Yeah, it can be kind of hit or miss, can't it?
Yeah. Well, if you don't get it right, it can be, you know, because it's a big beer, you know, it's got lots of alcohol, but it is, the bitterness units are low. It's just, oh man, this beer, it's going like hotcakes. So I'm just saying, this is an excellent beer. And they have a newish one. It's not new, but, and it's a good middle of the road beer. And I think it's called Drive Through Red Ale. And it has like the Sequoia, you know, the Sequoia tree you can drive through out there.
Oh yeah. California.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Well, that sounds tasty.
So
enjoy a couple for me. You know how that goes.
Yeah, and I'm glad to hear you're doing well with your cigarettes, and you start reinforcing yourself, and that'll be it.
Yeah, and I think remember, I'm. I think
every
I'm.
Time you go to sleep.
I'm going to get there. I'm going to get there.
When you go to sleep, you quit.
And that's the thing. Like when I wake up in the morning, I deliberately wait. I make myself wait. And I'm not exactly losing my mind or anything. You know, so it's not like I've got the shakes or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, the I get a little nicotine-y, but for the most part, I work on something, do a little show prep, watch some Filthy Habit. And the next thing you know, 2 or 3 hours have gone, and I wait until after breakfast. Yeah. All right, Todd, you have yourself a good night, man.
You too. That's good news, Bob. And
for the third night running, or is it the fourth, the Cherry Tootsie Pop, the emergency unwrapped Cherry Tootsie Pop, remains untouched.
That's excellent news, man. That's got to make you feel good about it.
Yeah. I'm just...
Everyone's rooting for you, man. Come on. A lot of us have been through that. And you'll get through it, too.
Yeah, I hope so. I think I can. I'll get there. When I start thinking about the money I won't be spending, whew, that gets exciting.
Yeah. You'll get to the point you're like, I can't believe I did that. I'm serious. It's a little, you know.
Yeah.
That's all I can say. Well... Anyway, hang in there, it's going to be rainy and cold here. I don't know about there, but it's going to be rainy and cold tomorrow.
Yeah, no kidding. It's been kind of brisk.
Propane Cowboys.
Take care, Todd. See you, man.
I'll see you.
Later. Bye. And with that, and this isn't about wanting a smoke. I have somewhere I have to be this evening, and I'm going to knock off a few minutes early. So I'm going to say thank you again to Paul from Parts Unknown for another year of the Paulmans, and thanks very kindly for everybody jumping in and wiping those out in a hurry. Thank you. And for those of you who've never had them, you're going to love them. And thanks to all of you who keep the program on the air as subscribers, as a la carte contributors. Thank you so very much. Thank you for PayPal subscribers and Patreon both. It's a big deal. Thank you
to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks this evening to Steve from Georgia Stan in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.